You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. This week is technically the first week of spring, even though it might not feel like it yet. Many of us might be eager, ready to say goodbye to the seemingly endless winter weather. But in addition to easing drought conditions, there's also some buzz in the air that this year's wildflower season could be epic. In past years, with torrential rains, stunning super blooms have attracted huge crowds in California. But our neighbor to the east could also see one of its best wildflower seasons in years. So joining us to tell us more about the super bloom forecast in Nevada, where some of the best spots might be, and how you can view these responsibly, is Jerry Thiem, curator at University of Nevada, Reno, and Tiffany Pariah, an ecologist with the Desert Research Institute. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Tiffany, I want to start with you because, as we mentioned, you're an ecologist with the Desert Research Institute, which has centers in Reno and Las Vegas. Tell us more about the Institute and the work that you do there.
Yeah, so we work all around the world, all seven continents. So the desert part of that is a little bit of a misnomer, but I focus my work down here in the Mojave Desert. We have scientists that in three divisions, the division of hydrology, atmospheric sciences, and earth and ecosystem sciences. So we work with agencies, with state governments for restoration and basic research.
You're also a scientific illustrator. How do you integrate art into your scientific research?
I believe art is one of the best ways to proliferate scientific fact to folks. We tend to have a lot of jargon when we speak, and what better way to disseminate that research than through means that more people can access.
What are some of your favorite art pieces that you've done?
So I do a lot of botanical illustration, so tying back to the wildflowers. Botanical illustration has a long storied history. Botanists still use those drawings today to identify plants when we put them through keys. And I continue that long history, the work that I do.
Wonderful. Well, Jerry, you are at the herbarium at UNR. You and your team, what kind of work do you do at the university?
Well, we're trying to put together we are putting together an annotated checklist for the flora of Nevada. There's about 3,600 different species of plants that occur here. And we go out and do field work during the summers and when things are in flower. And I dig up and press plants and make scientific specimens out of them so we have a permanent record of what is out there.
How diverse is plant life in Nevada and the Great Basin?
It's quite diverse. I think Nevada, it's in the top 10 of states as far as number of species goes, because it's nothing like California. I mean, California is sort of a subcontinent unto itself as far as flowers go. But anyway, it's quite diverse out here.
Given that you began working on plants in the 1970s and 80s, what sparked your interest, planted that seed, you know, to pursue a career in studying them?
Well, I've always been out of doors, and I have a college degree in wildlife management. And when you study wildlife, you also have to study plants because, of course, you know, wildlife eats plants. And I was just kind of fascinated by the fact that people could name plants. And then I just took an elective in botany when my senior year in college, and everything just clicked. That's all I can say.
So, Tiffany, you told the Reno Gazette-Journal that you anticipate it's going to be a great wildflower season. What are the ingredients to a great wildflower season?
So part of what I research is seed ecology. So plants produce, flowering plants produce seeds. We can get into the weeds there, if you will. But the plants that produce seeds, those seeds require certain cues, if you will, to germinate or grow, sprout. And all species have a different set of cues and a different timing for those cues to occur. So you might have species that need a hot monsoon rain, several hot monsoon rains. You might get species that require a cold rain and then multiple cold rains followed by a warming that increases gradually. And so when all those things click, all those things happen in the right order and the right timing, you get wildflower blooms.
You're talking about a lot of circumstances that need to go right in order to have a super bloom. And I would imagine it's going to be different in different parts of the state of Nevada.
Exactly.
Jerry, yes. Jerry, for listeners up in the Tahoe-Reno area, how is wildflower season shaping up? What kind of forecast do you have?
Well, you got to keep in mind, we're 400 miles north of Las Vegas and at least 2,000 feet higher here in Reno. I mean, it spit snow here about an hour ago. So we're a long ways off from talking, you know, from things actually being in flower. But things have really shaped up. We've had plenty of moisture, and we also had fall moisture. And it's nice when you get a good douse of rain in October and November, because a lot of plants will germinate then, and then they'll just sit as a rosette through the winter and absorb moisture, and then they take off in the spring. So I think we're going to be in really good shape, but it's going to be early May before things really start popping around here.
I was really surprised when you noted the last good wildflower seasons for the area that we're talking about was 2017, but before that was 2005. So we're talking more than a decade in distance. What were the weather ingredients that made those years and potentially, hopefully this year, remarkable for these blooms?
Well, in 2005, we had a fall rain, and then on New Year's Eve, for the next 24 hours, we got 3 feet of snow in Reno. And basically 2 to 3 feet all the way out across the state. And in the next week, we got another foot of snow. So we had all that great moisture, and you know it slowly melted and sunk in. And then after that, every month or so, we got another douse of moisture. And it didn't get real hot. It didn't just all of a sudden, you know, go to 90 or 100. So the plants developed, and every time it rained, they kept growing. And it was just a fantastic year. No matter where you went, you were knee-deep in wildflowers out here.
Yeah. Tiffany, as you said, it's going to look different in different parts of the state at different times. Mm-hmm. Do you have kind of a regional timeline for this potentially great wildflower season?
Yeah, and what's exactly what Jerry was talking about, it can even be different around the Las Vegas Valley. So, for example, parts of Lake Mead, so Willow Beach, down south near Laughlin, those areas are already starting to go off. In California, Anza Borrego started going off in the winter, and it is still going because they keep getting rain. Whereas one of my study sites, Tule Springs Fossil Beds National Monument, the plants are just starting to come up there. We have a few wildflowers peeking out, but it's just hopefully going to keep getting better and better as we move along, as long as it doesn't get too hot too quickly.
Yeah. And given that in the last recent years, California, Nevada, and more broadly, the Southwest has endured years of severe drought, has that had any impact on wildflowers and the rest of plant life throughout Nevada? Tiffany?
Oh, absolutely. There was a year, it was 2021, Nevada, or the Southern Nevada area, had a historic drought. And I referred to it as the zero year. There were areas where no wildflowers came out, absolutely none. It was the first year there was no monsoon detected in the Vegas area on record, and the plants responded. And that has impacts not only just for the plant life going forward, but also animals that rely on those plants as well, like the desert tortoise.
Yeah, I mean, those ripple effects are far and wide. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Jerry Team and Tiffany Pariah about how this spring could be an incredible wildflower season in Nevada. Okay, so the key word that we're all talking about here is could be. So what ideally needs to happen weather-wise over the next several weeks to make super blooms in parts of Nevada a reality? Jerry?
Well, I think right now we're up here, we're set up real well for it. As long as it doesn't just all of a sudden turn to 90 or 95 degrees, we should be fine. It would be nice, though, if we started getting some warm weather and then maybe in a month or so get in one more rain. I think that's what would really set it off.
What are some of the best areas for people to see?
I would go east of Reno to the lower elevation areas around Fallon and Fernley, the Lahontan Basin, a former Lake Lahontan back in the Pleistocene, the sandy areas. Sandy areas are remarkable in that in dry years, there's just shrubs out there, and you don't think there's any seeds, but then when you get good wet years, the number of plants that come up are just phenomenal. And if you think about the super blooms in Southern California, they're mostly annual plants that produce those shows.
Tiffany, you mentioned Laughlin, Lake Mead. What other areas of the state do you think will have some of the best blooms this spring?
Yeah, so other parts of the Mojaves, the eastern Mojave, western Mojave, out towards even Death Valley's in California, but if you're going toward that side of the state here in Nevada, you'll start to see things coming up, and then the higher elevations will start to go off. Right now, Lake Mead, Valley of Fire are all starting to go off. And hopefully, as Jerry said, if we don't get 100 plus degree weather here soon, maybe a couple more spring showers, and we'll keep these going.
Valley of Fire is beautiful. I worked in Vegas for a couple years. And, you know, Death Valley isn't that far of a drive. It's a couple-hour drive. I did it as a day trip on a weekend. What's interesting when you brought up Death Valley was that last month officials, because the area can be known for wildflowers in the spring months, they said that likely they won't see a super bloom this year despite the record rainfall. But you're saying it still can be promising and beautiful to go check it out.
Absolutely. And sometimes folks focus on super blooms, but those happen when, as I said, you get those right cues all happening at the right time. And then certain species are like, yes, we're going off. But in years where that doesn't happen, that doesn't mean other species haven't had their needs met and they're coming up as well. So they're always gems. The desert especially is known for little belly flowers, and it rewards those who take the time to take a closer look.
Yeah. We're having this conversation because wildflower tourism has exploded in popularity, and it can be good on the one hand, but it also can be harmful. I mean, there's just more people who want to experience the blooms in person and, you know, share it on the gram, social media. But it has been a big problem in parts of California in recent years. Last month, even the city of Lake Elsinore in Southern California, they closed a popular trail to all visitors this spring after experiencing, quote, Disneyland-sized crowds in previous super bloom years. Are either of you concerned about the impact that an influx of tourists that are excited and want to take it in, but how they can impact the flowers and the environment? Jerry?
That doesn't seem to be a problem here. We just simply don't have that many people in Nevada, and it's a ways out from Reno to the deserts. Places around Lake Tahoe, though, can get trampled quite bad. Mm-hmm. I know Tahoe Meadows. But the high mountain stuff this year is going to be way late, and I would imagine there's some plants aren't going to flower. By the time they get out from under the snow, it's going to be too late in the season.
How about you, Tiffany? Is this a concern of yours?
Yeah, a little bit. Just some of the areas that get a bit popular, people think, oh, well, if I'm only one person, I'll go off trail. It's only a couple flowers. But you think of the impact over time, and how these super blooms occur is a result of what's called soil seed banks. So the seeds that these flowers produce in mass, so a single, you know, California gold poppy can produce hundreds of seeds, for example, and those seeds lie waiting in the soil, and they form this seed bank that I study and wait for those right cues. So if you're trampling flowers and then that one poppy could have produced hundreds of seeds, then you get a bunch of people trampling more flowers. You start exponentially, there's hundreds and thousands of seeds that are no longer going to be produced for our next super bloom to occur.
Just
thinking about that, staying on the trails. We want people to experience their natural areas and get as much joy that I do out of wildflowers when I see them. But think about the future so we can keep having these conversations.
Well, Tiffany and Jerry, thank you so much for the conversation. Jerry Team is a curator at the University of Nevada, Reno. Tiffany Pariah is with the Desert Research Institute. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. We're back in just a moment.